Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 230, A Sour Taste. Everybody, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I'm Roger, your host, and this is the podcast all about home cooking, getting in the kitchen, learning new things, having fun, growing our skills and our confidence. Today, I want to do a deep dive into a workhorse of culinary flavor, vinegar. I was chatting with my brother, Randy, who I just got back from a trip to Louisiana with, and he suggested, because I've never really done it before, I don't believe I have anyway, talked about vinegar. We both love vinegar. We both grew up with a lot of vinegar in the food we ate. My mom used vinegar a lot, and we both love it. And he said, you should do an episode about vinegar. And so I thought that was a great idea. So that is what we are going to do a deep dive into today. However, there's obviously a little bit of housekeeping I've got to do. First and foremost, the show notes for this episode, kitchencounterpodcast.com/230. Go to that link in your web browser. You'll find links to things I talk about in this episode. So I'll be talking about some recipes and uses of vinegar, things like that. That is where you're going to want to go to find those links, kitchencounterpodcast.com/230. In those show notes, by the way, you'll also find links to all my social media. You'll also find an email address, which I'll just say here too. It's feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. So if you want to get in touch with me, you want to just say hi, or you have some questions about some upcoming topics you'd like to hear about on the show, whatever it is, feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com is a great way to get a hold of me. In those show notes as well, you'll find a link to the Nitty Grits Network at the Southern Food and Beverage Museum down in New Orleans, Louisiana. That's a network of shows about food, drink, and culture. The Kitchen Counter is one of the shows on that network, but there's a lot of other great stuff on there too. So either follow that link or just head over to southernfood.org and look for Nitty Grits, and you'll find info on the podcast network. By the way, because I've already mentioned the trip to Louisiana, in a future Smorgasbord episode, I will be talking about some highlights and some interesting things from that trip, especially the good food we ended up eating. But I would be remiss if I didn't say hi to Liz Williams, who is another host on the Nitty Grits Network, a tip of the tongue podcast, also one of the founders of the Southern Food and Beverage Museum. I actually popped into the museum and was able to meet Liz in person, face-to-face for the first time, which was really great. We've talked a lot on calls and via email and things like that, but it was really good to meet you, Liz. Also, I can't believe how many cool people we met on this trip to Louisiana, but I also want to do one more quick shout-out. There was a couple that we met out on the town one night, and it turned out they were staying at our hotel, and we ran into them, I don't know, three or four more times throughout the course of our trip, and they were just really cool people. So I just want to say, Doug and Denise from Florida, hope you're doing good. Hope your trip home was uneventful, and it was absolutely wonderful to meet you both in New Orleans. Like I said, in the future, I'll be talking a little bit more about that trip. But today, we're going to be diving deep into the world of vinegar for the home cook. So I think we should get into that. And I'm going to talk about what vinegar is, where it comes from, right? How it's produced, some of the common types of vinegar that you'll find in the kitchen as a home cook, and what can you do with vinegar in the kitchen as a home cook? How can you use it in your cooking? All right, without further ado, let's jump into A Sour Taste. All right, let's talk about vinegar, an ingredient that pretty much every cook has in their pantry in one form or another. It has a multi-thousand-year pedigree. It has been around a long, long time. And besides citrus fruit, one of the great sources of acid for culinary use to any cook. So I want to break this down into a couple of subject topics, if you will. First of all, what is vinegar? Where does it come from? Talk a little bit about different types of vinegar, and then I want to share maybe, I don't know, four, five, or six of my favorite things to do with vinegar as a home cook. Some things you may already be doing, some things may be new to you, but just to give you some ideas of what you can try in the kitchen with this very, very versatile acid. And most of us, if we've done any sort of cooking at all, I'm sure we're somewhat familiar with vinegar already, right? It's what makes our salads sing when you add a wonderful vinaigrette. It's what makes our pickles pop. It's an integral ingredient in a ton of dishes, from Filipino adobo, North Carolina-style barbecue. You name it, vinegar is an amazing flavoring agent, preservative agent, and for even some folks, a cleaning agent available to us home cooks. So what is vinegar anyway? Well, vinegar, what gives vinegar its sour, tangy flavor is acetic acid. That's spelled A-C-E-T-I-C. That's what gives vinegar its zing. Vinegar is made up usually of some combination of acetic acid, water, and then in some cases some other flavorings and minerals, depending on the type of vinegar. Vinegar and citrus are often used interchangeably in cooking, as both provide that acidic kick and that tart, sour flavor. But despite those similarities, they are different compounds altogether. Citrus, the acid in citrus root is citric acid. Again, the acid in vinegar is acetic acid. So just by way of comparison, that acid that comes from lemons, limes, grapefruit, oranges, whatever, other citrus fruits, citric acid can occur naturally as the fruit matures, right? You don't have to do anything magical to a lemon, or a lemon doesn't have to do anything other than just grow and mature into a lemon, and then it naturally produces citric acid. Vinegar doesn't quite have it that easy. Acetic acid, that acid that makes vinegar sour, it's actually produced through a chemical process of fermentation, and sometimes you'll see it referred to as oxidation. But every vinegar that you find in your kitchen, from distilled white vinegar to apple cider vinegar, wine vinegar, and so on, actually started out life as some sort of alcohol. So without alcohol, we cannot have vinegar. Now, the first known references to vinegar, like intentional vinegar, used maybe in a culinary sense, I think dates back maybe 5,000 or 6,000 years from present day, and you can trace it all the way back to the ancient Middle East, the Fertile Crescent, the cradle of human civilization. As long as there has been some sort of alcohol being produced by humans, let's say beer or wine, there has probably been vinegar to go along with that. Now, to make that make sense, let me just quickly walk through, very quickly, very high level, the process of making ethanol, which is a form of alcohol. Ethanol is the type of alcohol that human beings can ingest and consume. And maybe I'll just use apple cider vinegar as an example, because it's a very common vinegar in most households. So apple cider vinegar, the first thing you need to do, we have to go way back at the beginning of the process. We have to start with the apples, or the carbohydrates that we're going to first turn into alcohol. And I'm saying ethanol, I'm saying alcohol. From here on out, I'm just going to say alcohol as a catch-all term. But you have to start out with apples to make apple cider. You mash them all up, you get all the juice out of them, you let them sit in a mash in a vat, and they start to ferment. And maybe you introduce some agents to help the fermenting along, but in general, they ferment. That means yeasts move into that apple mash, and they start digesting the sugars. And the byproduct, or the waste of yeast digesting those sugars, is alcohol. So they excrete alcohol. When they're done with that process, you have, essentially, in its most crude form, a hard apple cider, an alcoholic apple cider. And if we were going to consume it as a hard apple cider, it would probably get filtered and processed and bottled and all that stuff. If you want to turn it into a vinegar, there would essentially be a second fermentation process. And what that looks like is very similar to the first fermentation process that turned it from a mash of apple juice into hard cider. The only difference is we have some different bacteria that move in to do the work. But just like the yeast, these other bacteria move in and they start consuming the alcohol. And the byproduct of their consuming the alcohol, their output, their waste product, is acetic acid. So once that second fermentation or oxidation process is complete, you end up with some sort of solution of acetic acid, water, and you know whatever was left in that apple cider mash that couldn't be digested by those bacteria. In most cases, that acetic acid solution is filtered and diluted down and then bottled as apple cider vinegar. In most cases, it'll be probably diluted down for household use, probably around 5% acidity. And there you have apple cider vinegar. Now, if you didn't dilute the acetic acid down and you ended up with, I don't know, whatever percentage it would be, it would probably be too strong. So most household cooking vinegars are going to run in the range of like 3% to maybe 7-8% or so acidity. And all culinary vinegars are diluted down to be in that range to make them safe for human consumption. It is an acid. Acetic acid is acid. It can be harmful if ingested undiluted. Just a side note, if you go on Amazon, say, for example, and you look up acid or vinegars, you can find industrial grade vinegars that are above 10% acidity. I just quickly went to Amazon and I found one that was like 30% acidity. Those are not safe to ingest without dilution. You don't want to cook with those. You don't want to sprinkle those on your vegetables or whatever. Those are for cleaning, for industrial, for agricultural uses. So always, if you're ever unsure, every vinegar that you buy in the grocery store, in the cooking aisle anyway, in the condiment aisle or whatever, they're all going to be food safe, of course. But if you ever buy anything online, just make sure you double check that the vinegar you're getting is made for kitchen use, culinary use, in food safe, that is to say. So that process, and with the example of the apple cider vinegar, where you start with apples, you mash them, you let them ferment into hard cider, and then you let a second fermentation process happen where more bacteria come in and convert that into acetic acid, and then that's diluted down into apple cider vinegar. That's essentially the same process for all vinegars that you're going to be using in your kitchen. It's just that depending on the type of vinegar you have, you'll probably start out with a different type of source alcohol. And I want to talk about that different types of vinegars and source alcohol in a second. But you know, just to put a bow on the whole historical aspect of this, you can imagine in your mind that you know when the first batch of beer was crudely brewed or the first wine was fermented, you could see how the accidental nature of fermentation could have caused it to go sour, and then people discovered that there was bad wine, for example, and that wasn't necessarily a good thing. But it didn't take them long to understand the value of it, from everything from food and cooking to folk medicine to preservation and things like that. And just like every great food or ingredient that's been accidentally discovered, over time people have practiced and studied and refined the art of making that ingredient, and vinegar, of course, is no different. Now, I want to move on to some different types of vinegars, but one note before I do that is some of you may be asking, well, there might be two questions. One of you may be asking, if vinegar comes from alcohol, is there any alcohol left in vinegar? And by and large, in the vast majority of situations, there will be no alcohol left in vinegar down up to very small trace amounts. Nothing to worry about. Nothing that would be more than your body naturally produces through metabolism every day. So vinegar is not something you should be concerned about from an alcohol perspective if you're pregnant or if you want to have your kids have some vinegar or you abstain from alcohol for dietary, personal, or religious reasons. Generally speaking, vinegar is not something you need to worry about. The other question that I know some of you will have is, can I make my own vinegar? If I could make my own wine, for example, why couldn't I make my own vinegar? And you absolutely can. I'm not going to get into that process here, but I will put links in the show notes. Again, kitchencounterpodcast.com/230 to a couple of articles about making your own vinegar at home. It is doable. It just takes a little effort and time to pull that off. I've never made vinegar myself. I just always find it generally easier to hop over to the store. And, you know, if I need some red wine vinegar or the farmer's market is usually a good source for those, and pick up a bottle of it myself. So let's talk about some of the different types of vinegar. And when I say types of vinegar, I'm talking about like white vinegar, apple cider, wine vinegar, etc. There is another parameter you might want to know about, and that would be essentially pasteurized versus unpasteurized. The real difference between those two is that if you have an unpasteurized vinegar, which would probably be more common from, you know, the boutique shops or the upper end vinegars or the farmers markets and things like that, if they're unpasteurized, that means it could continue to produce what's called the bacteria that ferments vinegar, and it can sometimes turn into what we call a vinegar mother or a mother of vinegar. If you ever have an old bottle of vinegar sitting around and you look at it and you see things floating around in it that you think maybe shouldn't be in there, or like a blob floating in the top of the vinegar, that's the vinegar mother. And that's a mass of enzymes and bacteria. That's what makes vinegar. Completely harmless. You don't have to throw your vinegar out at all. That stuff will not hurt you. And in fact, if you do want to make your own vinegar at home, having a mother of vinegar is a really handy thing to have around, because that can act like a Kickstarter to ferment your vinegar, much like a sourdough starter can act like a Kickstarter to ferment dough to be sourdough. Same concept. If you have a pasteurized vinegar, it's going to be made to be shelf-stable in a way where it's not going to allow a mother of vinegar to develop over time. That's really the only difference, in my opinion. So I've talked about vinegar coming from source alcohol and the type of source alcohol you begin with. And of course, the processing of the final vinegar can really impact what your vinegar looks like and how your vinegar tastes and how it can impact your cooking. I've already talked about apple cider vinegar made from apple cider, of course. Apple cider vinegar, all vinegars are tangy and tart, but it weighs in about that 5% acidity. It's generally a little milder. It has some sweet notes to the vinegar. It's a good all-purpose vinegar for making vinaigrettes and quick pickles. But it does, keep in mind, carry a little bit of a sweet, mellow flavor from that apple cider source. On the other end of the spectrum would be white distilled vinegar. And a white vinegar, a distilled vinegar, is usually made from some sort of a neutral grain alcohol. I mean, think something like vodka, if you want to put a name on it. And it's allowed to ferment the acetic acid. And then it's distilled even more to be as colorless and neutral in flavor as it possibly can be. Think of it like a blank canvas vinegar. You get all of the tang, all of the sour, all of the acid without any extra flavor or color added to the mix. So it's great when you need an acid, but you don't want any of that extra stuff. It's often used in pickling and preserving because you can add other flavors and spices and herbs and things like that to the mix. And generally speaking, I just looked in my cabinet, for example, I've got a big jug of Heinz white distilled vinegar. It's all purpose. It's a 6% acidity. So it's just a little bit higher in the volume of acid in that particular white vinegar. Now, moving on to another common vinegar used in the kitchen, two varieties, white wine vinegar and red wine vinegar. And you've probably already figured out that those vinegars are made from either white wine or red wine, respectively. White wine vinegar is usually very mild in flavor, fairly mellow, where red wine vinegar can have more of a deeper and a more complex flavor profile, and of course a tint to it that's pink or red or like a rosé, almost a rosé wine color to it. And, you know, even within the main categories of white and red wine vinegar, there can be a huge, huge variety of flavors. And so one red wine vinegar does not fit all per se. You've got the inexpensive stuff you can get in the grocery store in the round little flask bottles, all the way up to some very expensive boutique stuff that you're going to find in the upper end markets and everywhere in between. Wine vinegar is absolutely fantastic for making vinaigrettes. It's great for just as a condiment on your table. But if you're going for red wine vinegar, you know, definitely if you can, try a few different varieties to see which you prefer flavor-wise. Again, red wine and white wine vinegars in acidity can range, the spectrum, but, you know, you're probably looking at 4, maybe 5% acidity in those. Maybe one of the most famous vinegars, at least in Western culinary tradition, would be balsamic vinegar, which is made from a grape must, which a grape must is the grape, the skin, the seeds, the stem, everything put into the mash. Balsamic vinegars, traditionally, they're a nameplace designated variety of vinegar. So they, to be a true balsamic, it should be fermented and made in Modena, Italy. But balsamic vinegars are dark, sweet. They can be aged to develop their flavors. Some aged varieties can be 10 years or more, and those balsamics can be very syrupy and thick. Balsamic is fantastic for drizzling on vegetables, fruit, even for making vinaigrettes. Of course, it's an integral component to a caprese, where you've got mozzarella cheese, basil, tomatoes, and of course, that wonderful drizzle of olive oil and balsamic vinegar. Rice vinegar is another very popular vinegar you're going to find in home kitchens here in North America. Of course, made from rice wine. Rice vinegar tends to be sweeter and more delicate on the lower end of the acidity scale, like 3-4%. Obviously very common in Asian cuisine. It's also a nice vinegar just to use as a tabletop condiment. Another vinegar I'll just mention, and there are many more varieties that I'm even mentioning here, but malt vinegar is another very unique type of vinegar you can find. It's made from malted barley, think something like an ale, and it has a beautiful, complex, nutty, toasty flavor. It's, of course, a classic condiment for things like fish and chips or beans and toast. It's a great tabletop condiment that brings more in terms of flavor and interest than, say, just like a plain white wine vinegar might. But as I read off this, you know, list of half a dozen or so types of vinegars, you can see just based on the name of them, you can kind of understand how they were developed, how they were fermented, what source alcohol they came from. And that also gives you a little bit of a clue, perhaps, to what the general flavor profile of those particular vinegars might be. I would say, in general, a white distilled vinegar, depending on the acidity percentage, but flavor and color, you know what you're going to get every time you get a hold of a white distilled vinegar. I would say every other vinegar I mentioned, there can be quite a lot of variety just within those broad categories. So again, even apple cider vinegar, you can get quite different varieties and get filtered and unfiltered. The wine vinegars, the balsamics, the rice vinegars. Among those, there's going to be a lot of variety. So again, as you're branching out into using different vinegars, just make sure you try as many as you can so you sort of understand what each of those bring to the table. And even within some of those categories, you'll get things like rice vinegar as an example. You can see like unseasoned rice vinegar, which will be just a plain rice wine vinegar, all the way to seasoned, which it might have some sweeteners added to it or some garlic or salt and everywhere in between. And that will impact the flavor of that rice vinegar. So just keep an eye out on what you're getting. And again, try them as much as you can so you can start to understand the flavor profiles that come with these different types of vinegars. Now, all that's good and fine. We've talked about where vinegars come from, how they're made, some different types of vinegars that you're going to find in the kitchen. But what in the world are you supposed to do with all of this vinegar? How do you use it in your cooking? And I'm going to share with you maybe 5 or so of my favorite things to do with vinegar in the kitchen. Some of them very simple, some of them more complex. And I will put links to these things in the show notes. So if you need recipes or techniques or things like that, you'll be able to find those. But the one thing I'm not going to talk about, or the one general category, is, say, using vinegar as a cleaner in the kitchen. That can be done. That's a whole different topic. It doesn't really fall into the umbrella of home cooking, in my opinion. So I'm not going to really mess with that. You can Google using vinegar as a cleaner and get a trillion articles about that. So we're not going to touch that. And we're also not going to touch like folk remedy or home cures or things like that. There's also a lot of stuff out there that involve vinegar. Let's jump into then what are some of my favorite things to do with vinegar in the kitchen. This is the easiest and most practical thing. Just use vinegar as a condiment, as a finisher to your recipes, to brighten, to enhance, to clarify flavors in your dish. Probably throughout the life of this podcast, when I'm cooking things, I'm always thinking about using things like lemon juice, a splash of lemon juice on a finished dish, especially very rich, very savory, or very bitter dishes can really do wonders. It can do as much for a dish as salt does to season a dish. So just like salt, acid can add that perfect finishing touch. A splash of white wine vinegar, for example, can do at least as much as a pinch of salt when seasoning your food before serving. And related to that, and even related to salt, bitter flavors can overwhelm a dish. Salt does a great job of taming bitter flavors, but if you don't want to, you know, overdo your dish with salt, acid also tames bitter flavors. So acid balances out bitter compounds. That's one of the reasons why a splash of vinegar is amazing with bitter greens like spinach or kale or chard. I remember as a kid, my dad would always have a garden, and he would always, a few of the things he would always grow would be collards, kale, and chards. And one of his favorite things to do when they were in season, before dinner, no matter what we were eating, it doesn't even matter, he would go out to the garden with his garden shears and he'd clip off a few big leafy, you know, stalks of, you know, chard or whatever he felt like eating, bring it into the house. My mom would boil them up to cook them. And then he'd put them in a bowl and he would just splash some red wine vinegar on them and eat them just like that. So he knew that vinegar was an amazing condiment for those bitter greens. So combating bitterness is a huge job that acid can take up wonderfully. Another thing I think every home cook should know how to make is a vinaigrette, aka salad dressing. But of course, you can use a vinaigrette on fresh vegetables. You can use it as a sauce for proteins. There is an unlimited variety of the types of vinaigrettes you can make, but the most simple vinaigrette is simply a combination of an acid, in this case vinegar, and a neutral oil. And a typical ratio for a vinaigrette is 3 parts oil to 1 part vinegar. Whisk those together in a bowl or throw them in a jar with a tight lid and shake it up, and you've got a very simple vinaigrette. But of course, you can add more ingredients to a vinaigrette. You can use different flavored vinegars, different types of oils, and then all sorts of add-ins, spices, herbs, emulsifiers like mustard. The options are truly endless. So again, I'll put some links in the show notes, but you can just Google vinaigrette and find an unlimited supply of recipes. But a vinaigrette, if you know the ratio is 3 parts oil to 1 part acid, you can whip up a vinaigrette any old time as long as you have at least those two ingredients on hand. An absolutely fantastic use for vinegar. Vinegar is also great to make pan sauces and even marinades, related but different. But, you know, a pan sauce, let's just say you've cooked up a couple of chicken breasts in your skillet and you want to deglaze the pan, meaning you add some liquid and scrape up the nice brown bits on the bottom of your skillet. A little bit of vinegar to do that, combined with maybe some butter and some stock and some fresh herbs. Bring that to a boil, and then voila, you've got a fantastic little pan sauce that you can drizzle over your food as you serve it. And of course, marinades are the same way, except they happen at the beginning or before you cook, right? You're creating a mixture of different liquids and oils in vinegar or lemon juice, of course. But vinegar in this episode is a great component of a really good marinade. Kind of the wise tale is that it breaks down the meat or whatever to make it more tender. That's not really the case. It's in the case of a marinade, I think vinegar really does the job of flavor along with the fat. Now, finally, probably my favorite thing to do with vinegar is pickling and preserving. Now, pickling and preserving for long-term storage, that's a whole nother topic. That's a little bit more of a complicated process. But if you're not doing it the old-fashioned way from a pure ferment, then vinegar is going to come into play for your preservation. But, you know, you can do a lot of pickling that doesn't require all the equipment, doesn't require all the time and the science, and you can quick pickle, or sometimes you might call them refrigerator pickles. And when I say pickles, I don't necessarily even mean cucumbers. Virtually any vegetable is a great candidate for a quick pickle. And what a quick pickle is a solution of vinegar, water, maybe salt and sugar, maybe some other spices if you wish, and then the vegetable of your choice. You put that all in a jar, put a lid on it, throw it in the fridge, and anywhere from a few hours to a couple of days, you've got some really great pickled vegetables that are going to last you a while as long as you keep them in the fridge. They're not made to be put up on a shelf in storage or anything like that, but in the fridge, they'll last you quite a while. Lots of recipes for quick pickling, but the general ratio would be equal parts vinegar and water, and then optionally, like I said, salt and sugar, and then perhaps other spices. I'll put some links in the show notes, but you generally throw those all in a pan, bring them to a boil. In a clean jar, you pack your cleaned and trimmed vegetables, pour the hot brine over, throw the lid on, and then you let it come to room temperature and then toss it in the fridge, and then you're on your way to making quick pickles. Quick pickles, things like onions and peppers and tomatoes, are all wonderful things to quick pickle aside from your standard cucumber. So those are a few of the things that I like to use vinegar for as a condiment to combat bitterness, to brighten flavors in your finished dish. Of course, to make vinaigrettes, that's absolutely essential. Pan sauces and marinades, and probably most interesting to me would be quick pickling up some vegetables. Quick pickles, they make just a great condiment for whatever it is you might be grilling or braising. They're just, they're a lot of fun to do, and they just, you know, make ordinary peppers something special, for example, that you know, maybe you're tired of peppers from your garden or little cherry tomatoes from your garden. Well, quick pickle them up, and you've got something completely new and interesting. So I hope this episode has given you a little more in the way of ideas on how not only to use vinegar, but just a little more basic knowledge on what vinegar is. It can seem like a mysterious ingredient. You know it's tart and tangy. You know it's sour. You don't really maybe know why. Well, hopefully now you understand where vinegars come from and how the different types of vinegar and their different source alcohols and the different ways they're processed can result in a dizzying variety of flavors and colors and just interesting things that they can bring to your recipes, whether you're improvising or whether you're just using vinegar as called for in a recipe. You'll be a little better armed and aware on how vinegar can elevate your cooking. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for one more episode of the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. Again, the show notes for this episode will be at kitchencounterpodcast.com/230. Head over there for all sorts of vinegary, sour, and tart and tangy goodness. I'll put links to recipes and other vinegar-centric stuff there. Also, don't forget to go check out the Nitty Grits podcast at southernfood.org. See what they've got going on and what kind of interesting episode you can ferret out from the other great shows on the network. As I mentioned, in the future, I'll be doing a smorgasbord episode, and I'll fill you all in on my adventure to Louisiana with my brother in June. We ate so much good food. It's a good thing I don't live there. I'll just leave it at that, because I'd never stop eating. Literally, I would never stop eating if I lived there. So it's a great place to visit and get inspired and eat lots of good food. But I'm back here in the Pacific Northwest, where it's nice and warm. We're getting out. We're doing some more grilling. We went picking berries and cherries today. They're in season, and it's just the best time of year here. So had fun in Louisiana, but happy to be home, happy to get all that fresh produce and do some fun stuff with that. I hope you're able to get out and do the same thing. If you can, get to your farm stands, get to your markets, get some fresh produce, and see what you can do with them in your home kitchen. And better yet, if you can do it with your family or your friends, is there anything better? All right, everybody. Until next time, I am Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Happy cooking.